coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with the radio blastin' and the bird dog gone.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network. Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. And she took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these. She said,
Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him just one more time, you see, all I have are the memories and the moments to recall.
And he died for God and country in a place so far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me.
She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall.
America is the greatest country in the world.
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis, freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way. Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about
fine.
But Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey,
and with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
Okay, if you wanna have a go, I just wanna let you know. Yeah, get off of my back and into my game. Get out of my way and out of my way.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
And welcome to The Shooting Bench. It is Wednesday, the 21st of November. It is Thanksgiving Eve, I guess you call it. And we've got a lot of stories to cover tonight. Man, a lot of stuff's been going on, and which is nothing new. It's been that way quite a bit here the last few months. So let me go over and check the chat room real quick. I'm waiting for something to pop up here. There it is. Let me open that up. We'll be talking about that quite a bit. Let me run over here to the chat room, see what's happening, if anything. Looks like we got sound. Thank you, NM Glock. Let's see who all we got in there tonight. One Bright Angel, good to see you, sweetheart. It's been quite a while since I've seen you in here. AZ Bound and Natika and Minnie and Mountain Shooter and Nan and NM Glock. WMD Doc made it in again. Good to see you. T-Bow and Anonymous. Good deal. Okay, let's, no particular order. We've got a, I'm going to need to start with this because this is important. Now I'm going to start with this one right here. This was a guy in Pennsylvania. For those of you that are not familiar with the hunting in Pennsylvania, it's great. I don't like the state too much. I don't like where it's at. But if you're just going to hunt, it's great. They got a lot of deer up there. They got deer like prairie dogs or something. I mean, they're just everywhere. And they got some tremendous bear hunting up there. There's lots and lots and lots of bears up in that part of the country. And here's a guy who took a 679-pound black bear with a handgun. Okay, that in and of itself is not the most fantastic thing. They said he got it at 5 yards. And he got it with a 357 Magnum. And this is all leading up to something we're going to talk about a whole lot here in a little bit. They said they had... So far this year, they're not near done hunting yet, but so far this year they've taken 1,622 black bears out of 54 counties in Pennsylvania. 10 of them are upwards of 600 pounds. That's nice bears. That's good bears. The biggest one was 704 pounds. Got that one with a rifle. Let's see, yeah, it tells about the average size. They say the number up there is, according to 2015 survey, they said there's upwards of 20,000 bears in Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania is not a very big state, but it's big enough to have 20,000 bears in it. So... And then it goes on to say how agile they are and how they can run up 35 miles an hour and climb trees and swim well and all this kind of stuff. So, and remember, he killed this one with a 357 Magnum. So keep all that in mind for a minute. And let's go to Wyoming. Everybody I know has sent me this story today because everybody I know knows what a 10 millimeter fanatic I am, how much I love them, and my story that I wrote here several years ago on using the 10 millimeter for protection against bears. Now, hunting, and we won't go through the whole thing because we've talked about it a lot, and one of them was not, what was it, probably, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months ago. It hasn't been too terribly long. But I'm a big advocate of the 10 millimeter for protection against bears. Protection and hunting, two totally different scenarios. So keep that in mind. So in Wyoming, and I don't think it said exactly where in Wyoming, just in Wyoming, there's grizzlies all over up there, especially up in the northwest corner. There's lots and lots of grizzlies up in that part of the country. That's where I lived, and we had numerous experiences with grizzlies up there. I lived right in Cody. Cody's right outside of the park, right outside of Yellowstone Park. And not uncommon at all to see grizzlies around there. People run across them when they're elk hunting and stuff pretty frequently. You can be pretty confident that you're going to see a grizzly or more than one and may even have trouble when you're gutting your elk. You never know.
Hang on, we may have breaking news here.
That is Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. That's a bit, find out what that is. That's some breaking news there. See if you can find out what it is. It may be something we need to do a search for it. Let's see, what did Mountain Shooter, Yeah, 200 grain full metal jacket.
Yeah, that's not a bad choice, because all your full metal jackets for the 40 caliber are flat points. They're not round nose, like the 9mm. Or there's a few 9mm that are flat point, but generally in the 124, 125 grain stuff, which, you know, if you're going to be out expecting to take down an animal of any kind, you know, that's probably a better choice. But hey, Yakima Glock, glad you made it in there. So, yeah, the 200 grain flat point would be good. A 200 grain wide flat nose and a hard cast with a gas check, that'd be okay too. And there's a few of the very well-made soft points that might work okay. But probably my first choice would be a 200 grain flat point. And did you say something? Okay. Yeah, we got some breaking news down in south of us here. We're waiting to see what comes in. Ordinarily, I don't holler across the room when I'm on the air, but this looked like it's pretty significant. Huh? So, speaking of 200 grain flat points, we've got some stuff going on outside. I may have to go out there and kill something here in a minute. All right, let's get back to the story here.
Dang.
So here's this guy. He's a guide. Generally, they'll call guides, especially in Africa and everything, call them professional hunters. So we'll call this guy a professional hunter. And we may change that name by the end of the story, but for right now, we're going to call him a professional hunter. And he had a bow hunter with him. And generally, depending on the state, you know, you can't carry firearms when you're bow hunting. Some states will allow you to carry a handgun for self-defense and whatnot. So regardless of what the legalities were, these guys were elk hunting, archery elk hunting. So they had mortally wounded an elk, and they were tracking him. They found him. They had not recovered it before dark. So they came back the next day, which is pretty typical. We've done it many times. And followed a good blood trail to the elk. He'd long since expired. So they decided they're going to get him gutted out and everything and packed up. And, you know, it's in September up there when you're hiking in the hills and busy hunting and you know, and you're cutting these elk up and everything, it can get warm. So this guy takes his shirt off, takes his backpack off, and takes his handgun off. His handgun just happened to be my very favorite for this kind of thing. It's the Glock 20 in 10mm. And put it over with his backpack. Well, they just about finished cutting this elk up, or skinning it and everything, when they were attacked by two grizzly bears. Full charge, no bluffing, no nothing. They just come in hardcore right from the start. So the, let's see, let me get my name straight here. Yeah, the guide, we'll call him Mark. That was Mark Uptain was his name, and the other one was Corey. So Mark was the hunter, was the guide. Corey was the hunter, okay? Mark was hit by the bear first, and then Corey. Then the bear went back to Mark, and back and forth there a little bit. Pretty soon, the hunter took off and ran, and he survived. It's really amazing to me that one of those bears didn't run him down, but they must have been having too much fun with the other guy. So the hunter left. I'm not okay with that, but that's what he did. So there was some a lot of questions as to what went on here, and then big investigation and everything. So it was known, I guess, that the guide's Mark's Glock Model 20 semi-automatic pistol was with the hunter's packs. People wondered why the pistol was in the pack. It did little good for defense against bears. and that was the only firearm that they had with them. So just to clear that up, it was not in the pack, but it might as well have been because it was, like I said, he took it off and laid it over there with the stuff, you know, out of arm's reach. And there's a sentence here that it's really unrelated to everything, but it said the reason he took it off, it says processing big game tends to be a bit messy. No, it doesn't. It tends to be a bit messy if you don't know what you're doing. For someone that has experience, this whole thing about this guide really, really stinks to me. It's really fishy because he's done everything wrong for the guides that I know. And most of you know that I spent several years in Wyoming and we did this kind of stuff routinely.
And so cleaning big game is only as messy as you let it be with experience. You know, you may get your hands a little bloody and a little bit on your boots, and that's about it. So it's not a big deal.
So it says out of the OSHA, and OSHA had something to do with this because it was an occupational hazard. This was his job. It wasn't just a hunting accident or incident. No. It said, before the two began field dressing the elk, the guide removed an automatic pistol that he carried in a chest holster, as well as his shirt, and left them with the two men's packs a short distance up the hill from the carcass. So, yeah, I just don't get that. I don't understand. I used to know a lot of guides up there, and I didn't know a single one that didn't routinely carry a handgun, big handgun, 44, 40, 454, you know. At that time, I didn't know anybody that carried 10 millimeter up there except me. But it's just odd that this guy is in grizzly country and left to the only gun that they had laying however many feet away. So anyway, the bear hit Mark as the other guy. What was the other guy's name? I forgot already. Mark and Corey. Okay. Corey went for the pistol. He said he had the Glock. He had a hard time trying to find a clear shot. Well, as it turns out, that really didn't matter too much. He tried to shoot the bear. He grabbed the pistol, was unable to make it fire. There was not a round in the chamber, so the gun was empty. He couldn't make it work. So, after the bear hit Mark and knocked him down, he turned around and bit the hunter on the ankle. He said he swung me around in the air, and he was talking to a television station in Florida. He got as far away from Wyoming as he could get, and that's when the hunter threw the pistol towards the guide. He said it was a matter of seconds before the bear attacked Mark, turned on Corey, and then returned to Mark to maul him again. But the Glock says it didn't make it to Mark, and the hunter took off. So the report confirmed that there was no round in the chamber.
So I'm still having a really hard time with the experience and professionalism of this guide.
He knows he's in grizzly country. If he's anywhere in Wyoming where there's elk, he's in grizzly country. And he takes this unloaded Glock off and lays it over on his backpack. And so I don't get that. But anyway, they said that the Glock pistol and the magazine were found in different locations. They said it may be that the guy activated the magazine release in an attempt to get the pistol to work, thinking it may have been the safety or whatever, which is not terribly uncommon. Actually, we've seen it even happen in classes sometimes when we do some more dynamic type stuff. But anyway, he may have pushed the magazine release and dropped the safety out and dropped the magazine out. So when he threw the gun to Mark, even if he was able to get to it, it wouldn't have been any good. And you can imagine what he was calling that hunter before he died, if he did manage to get a hold of the gun. So Anyway, they said it's not unusual either for that to happen. They said in a case 12 years ago, a client had great difficulty removing a pistol from his guide's holster. Similar to this case, the pistol had been hung in a tree a bit away from the carcass. In that case, a moose, the client, the guide were processing. The guide was finally able to extract the pistol from the holster. The grizzly bear stopped hunting the guide and came at him. He killed it with the pistol, and the bear dropped only 3 feet from him. So there's
more to the story, but the whole crux of the thing here is that he didn't have the gun with him, and he carried without a round in the chamber. I don't know a guide that is uncomfortable with carrying a round in the chamber of a handgun, especially when it's loaded, even if it's a semi-automatic. Obviously, a revolver would be different. But as Chuck said, he put a post on Facebook today, and I fully support it. I backed him up 100%. If you're not comfortable with carrying around in the chamber and you're in bear country, it would probably be best if you just stay on the porch with grandma. Because, I'm not going to, if that's your thing, that's okay. But you need to probably not be in bear country and be the only one with a gun and not have the sense enough to carry around in the chamber.
Because even if, since the Glock has no magazine disconnect, even if the magazine was ejected and the gun happened to get to the guide, he could have at least fired one shot. And maybe that would have worked. At least he could try. But with no round in the chamber, there was no possibility of that happening. So anyway, there you have it, and we could go through the whole thing again about 10 millimeters and bears again, but we've done that more than once, so I'll spare you the pain of it right now. All right, well, we've blabbered about bears long enough. We need to take a little break.
I'll be back.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Jones arose at dawn and put his hot britches on, then looked up at his shotgun on the wall. He made his mind up then and there to bag himself there at shooting. He had plenty on the ball. He milked the cow and fed the hog, then kissed his wife, called the dog, picked up his gun and started on his quest. He crossed the creek and hit the trees, threw back his head and sniffed the breeze, let out a yell and pounded on his chest.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun.
He hunted all the morning through, but not a bear came into view while Elmer's thoughts were on the kitchen range. For he was sick as he could be of lamb and chicken fricassee and craved a mess of bear meat for a change. Poor Elmer's mind was in a fog. He paused and sat down on a log to get his tackle lid back in the groove. He heard a noise, and standing there before him was a grizzly bear, and figured it was time he made his move.
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
Grabbed his gun and turned around, but Mr. Bear just stood his ground, and Elmer said, it's either me or thou. gun refused to go, and so he knew that somebody had to go and said, "Farewell, I'm leaving as of now." Elmer's shoulders sprouted wings, his feet developed inner springs. To linger longer, he was disinclined. He ran so fast through muck and mire, his ankles set his socks afire. Still that bear kept coming on behind.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
A deer with antler 8 feet wide got in the way of Elmer's stride as both of them went heading for the brush. Elmer said, "Now listen, son, if that's the fastest you can run, move over, because I'm really in a rush." The bear was gaining inch by inch and finally reached out for the clinch as Elmer saw the fence around his place. He leaped the fence and landed hard, jumped 60 feet across the yard and slammed the kitchen door in Bruin's face.
Here comes Elmer, Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer, run, bear, run.
The bear was trying to get inside while Elmer sought a place to hide, and Mrs. Jones began to pull her hair. She said, "This fuss has got to stop. Why don't you let that matter drop?" And Elmer said, "Honey, you go tell that to the bear." Then Elmer's wife said, "Listen, goon, how come you think you're Daniel Boone, whose appetite on bear meat used to thrive?" He said, "I'm sure that you're aware that Daniel always killed his bear, but honey, I done brought this baby home alive."
Here comes Elmer. Elmer's got his gun. Here comes Elmer. Run, bear, run.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country.
Yeah, we country.
All right, we're back. Let's move on. Let's change subject here a little bit. We're going to bounce around. We got a lot of stuff to talk about yet. Here's, I just posted this on Facebook a little while ago, and I don't even believe that this is even possible in this country. There's so many things that I get speechless about anymore and can't figure out what to say. Not that I'm the, you know, sharpest knife in the drawer sometimes, but geez, you know. I think it was just last updated 10 hours ago. It was probably 16 hours ago. And it says that a law banning female genital mutilation is ruled unconstitutional. And I guess a doctor in Michigan has done this. He was arrested, and he's been cleared of all charges. And they're saying that this is okay. It's not okay. It's damn sure not okay. Said a federal judge on Tuesday ruled that the U.S. law banning female genital mutilation was unconstitutional and dismissed charges against several doctors in Michigan. Michigan, of course, is the Muslim capital of the country here, who carried out the procedure on underage girls as part of Muslim sex religious practice. So let me get this straight here. It's okay for the Muslims to take underage girls and do this horrific thing to them. And that's unconstitutional. I mean, it's unconstitutional to say they can't, to make a law that they can't. So if we say, all right, I just had a baby boy, and I think that he's got more arms than he needs, so when he comes out, I want you to cut one of them off, and that'll be okay with me. And that's, what do you call that? Is it not, is it assault, or is it, what is it? It's got to be against the law. I can't even wrap my mind around this at all, that they are ruining these girls', you know, future sex life. For what? Because there's religion says that it's okay. It damn sure ought to be against the law here. Of course, they do it in garages and whatever in their filthy countries.
They ought to make them and say, you want to do that, you fly them to Saudi Arabia or Iraq or wherever you come from and do it there. Since the ruling came after defense lawyers challenged a 22-year-old genital mutilation law, it hasn't been used until 2017 when a doctor was arrested and accused of mutilating the genitalia of young girls. So you guys just think about that and talk amongst yourselves, because I don't know what to say. I can't believe that this is happening in the United States of America. I'm floored. And somebody, I believe it was Tebow, asked, you know, when exactly does somebody make that decision to say, you know, we need to take this country back? Some of this stuff is not okay. It's not all right to do this. There's a lot of stuff going on right now that's not okay to do. But, see, I've got a, let me see, right, there was something else that's not okay to do, if I can find it. Well, we'll come on it here in a little bit. Got a lot of stuff to do here. Here is in Florida. This happened, I think, yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. Florida man was arrested in, no, it was in New York. A Florida man was arrested in Albany, New York. Albany. For checking his firearm at the airline counter. So, we've talked a lot of times about traveling with handguns and checking ahead and seeing the states that you're going to travel through and check the laws and make sure that you're doing everything according to Hoyle. Understanding that we don't agree with the laws. The laws are unconstitutional more often than not, most of the time. And all the time, I guess. But they're still the law. And I've said that about all these goofballs that say, well, the Constitution's my concealed carry permit. Yeah, that's fine. I'm with you, brother. I'm 100% behind you. However, that only works until you get caught. And then, you know, it's like Mama said, it's all fun and games till somebody gets hurt. Well, it's all fun and games till you get caught with the gun. So you can take the chance all you want to, and then when you get caught, don't come crying because you're going to spend, 10 years in jail for it. Well, this guy, and probably perfectly innocently, but he didn't check his laws. By the way, for those of you that want to check laws when you're traveling, there is no better resource in existence than handgunlaw.us. All one word, handgunlaw.us. Every conceivable tidbit of information that you need to know or want to know about traveling with guns, carrying guns, open, concealed, you want to check the statutes, there's nothing that's not there. So do not use anything that the NRA has. They are woefully outdated, and if they're not making money on it, they're not going to spend any time on it. But handgunlaw.us is an awesome resource. You can download a PDF of a particular state and put it on your phone and have it, immediately available. I've got a bunch of them on my phone that I save, and I can pick it up, and, in 5 seconds I can have that all pulled up. So anyway, I'll have to say that this guy, he is purely at fault, but it was innocent. I have to wonder what happened to the peaceable journey laws that we have. Peaceable journey laws is supposed to allow you to travel from one
one place where it's legal to have the gun to another place where it's legal to have the gun, even if you have to travel through some place that it's not legal to have the gun. Let's say you're going from Arizona to Florida, and you happen to land in Chicago for a little bit, and you're going to get out there and you know, spend the night and jump back on the airplane the next morning or whatever and go to Florida. Peaceable journey laws are supposed to protect you from that. I don't know if that would apply in this case because the guy was intentionally going to New York and was there for a little while. So he should have known, he should have looked it up. He was doing right to declare the handgun at the counter. However, in New York, here's how it goes. You declare the firearm at the ticket counter just like you do anywhere else. That's the way to do it. If it's a handgun, somebody from the sheriff's office is going to meet you at the counter to verify that you have a New York State pistol permit and that it's valid and that the pistols you have are on the permit. So in New York, not only do you have to register as a gun owner, you have to register the guns, and they are, each individual gun is on this permit. So if everything checks out okay, then you're good to go. If you don't have the permit, then you're going to be arrested. No ifs, ands, or buts, no get out of jail free, just here's your bracelets, get your ass in the car. The bad thing about this is you can't just go in from out of state and say, hey, I'm a law-abiding gun owner and I want to have a New York permit because I'm going to be here for a few days and then I'm getting out of here. Can't do that. So he was charged with a misdemeanor because he didn't have the permit, released on $200 bail, and then he's going to have to go back to New York for court in January. Nice way to kick the new year off, it says here. So my question to the legal eagles out there, okay, it's going to cost him $200, but can they or will they extradite him for a, extradite, is that the right word? For a misdemeanor from Florida? Or will he just always have that hanging over his head and not be able to visit New York again? Because he's going to have to fly back up there, go through whatever procedures that he's going to have to go through there. They're probably going to, may or may not throw him in jail. I don't know. But they're, you can bet if they don't, they're going to pay a fine. If they do, he's probably going to pay a fine. And then he's got to fly back sooner or later back to Florida. So this is all going to cost a whole lot more than the $200 bail that he's got. I don't know if they're going to send a bail bondsman after him all the way to New York, all the way to Florida for a misdemeanor or not. If it was me, I think I would test it and find out. But anyway, he's only facing misdemeanor charge, so, you know, for a felony, that'd be a different story. But for a misdemeanor, I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? Neener, neener, neener. I don't think you're going to do it. No. What was the, Nan, we don't know what the breaking news was. What was best we can tell right now, I have to do a search on it later. It looks like there was a shooting down. It looks like a law enforcement officer shot down in Phoenix or down in that neck of the woods somewhere. But I'm not positive that that's what it is, but that's what little bit of information we've got. It's breaking, happening right now. So if I hear of anything before the show's over, I'll let you know. NM Glock says, a key word in peaceable journey is if the trip through the state is uninterrupted. And in New York, if you stop, and that's true. That's the reason when I went to, matter of fact, when I first time I saw Nan after I got back from Germany, I went and stayed with her and her husband at the time in Pennsylvania. And I had two guys from Georgia, and we were going through D.C. I don't remember why. But it is illegal at that time to stop in D.C. to get gas if you had those guns in the car. If you were traveling through D.C., you need to travel through D.C. You didn't stop anywhere. So that's the thing about the peaceable journey law. So if you're going to stop and spend the night or whatever, then all bets are off. Let's see. Hey, Copper joined us there. Okay, let's move on. We'll find out what happens to that. Oh, here's the one I was looking for. If I can get all these stupid ads to disappear. Here is a representative in Illinois that here's another one I'm going to have a hard time finding words for. He has demonstrated his attitude, his progressive Democrat libtard attitude about the Constitution, the Second Amendment. It says, in his view, the Constitution is a document that can be reinterpreted to mean different things every few years. Amendments to the Constitution can be put forward and passed any time. It is clear a constitutional amendment is not what they were talking about. He was just said that let's look at the Constitution every once in a while and say, well, that don't hold true anymore, so now it means this. And in a couple of years, it'll mean that. And no, that's not how it works. Our founding fathers would be, I would be embarrassed to death. I've said that before. There is no way that I could look one of the founding fathers in the eye and said, I've done everything that I could to save this country, to restore the republic. No. No, I haven't. They would be ashamed of every one of us. So what does reinterpret mean exactly? According to this, it said you mean to take the same words in the Constitution and apply a different meaning to them. If you can do that, the Constitution only means what you want it to mean when you want it to mean it. This is Representative Foster. That's what he thinks. He thinks that legislators such as himself should change the meaning of the Constitution when they need to, for whatever reason. When constitutional limits on government power mean nothing. So much of the purpose of the Constitution was to limit government power. Yeah, we know that. We're all about that stuff. All right, we're running out of time. Let's see if we can get to some more of these here. The sheriff's office in Richland County, Ohio, I think they're scratching their head here a little bit. It says five female inmates had to be revived after reportedly overdosing on heroin Thursday night. This was this story is pretty old, but it says all five were revived and treated with Narcan at the jail and taken to the hospital. A search was conducted. And investigators determined that tampon inserts were apparently used to snort the drugs. You know, there is a way, no matter how you want to take guns away, you want to take anything away, you want to prevent, prohibit, regulate, I don't care what it is, some enterprising individual will figure out a way to get around that. You look at the, there was a story going on Facebook here not too long ago about all the knives and stuff that they, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of knives that they had baskets full of that had been confiscated during searches in prison. And it just goes to show you, people who have a notion to kill somebody, they're going to figure out how to do it. Whether they use a ballpoint pen or it doesn't matter. You take away guns, it's not going to slow anything down. Did taking the guns away in Chicago or New York or you know Massachusetts or any place like that, did that drop the murder rate? No. The murder rate went through the frickin' roof because people couldn't protect themselves, and the people that were doing the murdering had no worry about. Being shot at. Anyway, preaching to the choir. I know you guys know all that stuff. In Hungary, no, I'm not actually. I just got through eating it. The Prime Minister in Hungary has banned gender study at the colleges saying people are born one or the other. They're either born male or they're born female. And that's one of the things, and one of the many things in this country that I haven't figured out yet. Well, I got it figured out. I'm pretty sure I can tell the difference, and I know what's going on there.
But what I haven't figured out is how is it that there's so many people there, you know, Oregon and I think Washington now and places in California, if not the whole state, all over the country, they're allowing people to change their birth certificates and change their driver's license, one or the other or both, to reflect that they're something that they're not. Yeah, I just don't get it. I'm
at a complete loss here. People are born one way or the other, and I can't imagine why people have to try to change that. I've always been pretty happy with the fact that I'm a man. I have no desire to see what it would be like to be a girl. I just don't care. Really don't. But evidently that's a thing for some people. So in, where is this? This is in, I think this is in Washington. Yakima Glock would know there. I'm pretty sure this is in Washington. And King County, isn't that Washington? Anyway, they're saying they're requiring gun store. This may come under that initiative at 1639 or whatever it was. I don't know for a fact, but it says they're requiring gun stores and shooting ranges to post warning signs regarding the risk associated with firearms. Do these people understand how stupid it makes them look and how stupid it makes everybody that applauds this and everybody that thinks it's a good idea, how absolutely dumb it makes them look? Guns don't give off radiation. They don't jump off the counter and shoot people. They don't bite. They just lay there and do nothing. And in itself, to walk by them when they're sitting on the counter, they're pretty safe. So I don't get this whole sign that there's guns in here. You better not come in here because there's guns and they're dangerous. No savvy. Just don't get it. But there is some good news coming out of Oklahoma tonight. One little bit of good news. You guys have seen the QT stores, right? The Quick Trips? Well, based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, they're looking for employees, and I'm thinking, oh, I ought to go to work for them, with a particular set of skills. Said there's some 750 locations in a dozen states, and they're advertising for full-time store clerks in the Tulsa area who double as armed security. What a novel concept. You can be a clerk, carry a gun, and you're going to be armed security. How about that? I think that'll work. You know what? Truth be known right now, if they just put out an ad to say we now filled all the locations, that's all it would take. Once word got around that QT was at armed employees, I think that the robberies would go down to damn few, if any at all. But anyway, that's good news. I'm really surprised that they would even consider this. I think it's a great idea. And probably a whole bunch of other, hang on a minute. I'm trying to do two things at once, and that's a little difficult for me sometimes. There we go. Now I got it. I think of a whole bunch of other stores, all your 7-Elevens and Circle K's and all that would do the same thing. We would see a dramatic and significant drop in armed robberies. But probably ain't going to happen. Yakima Glock, I saw that. Yeah, your romaine lettuce, more dangerous than gun. That's right. You could pick up some of that romaine lettuce and lick it and get sick, but probably not the same thing with a gun. Everybody just think you're weird. And you would be weird, actually, if you did that one. It's all right to hug guns and everything, but it's not okay to lick them. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what happens when I start rambling like this. It's time to scoot on out of here. Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody, and remember what Thanksgiving is for. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on the internet right now, and I don't know if I'm disappointed or disgusted in some of these people that say, well, you know, it's all based on a big lie about the Pilgrims and the Indians. And I don't give a damn about the Pilgrims and the Indians. That's not why I don't celebrate the Mayflower coming over here and doing whatever it is the hell that they did with the Indians. Doesn't matter. Thanksgiving is a time that we spend with family. We're thankful for our country. We're thankful for this republic. As many flaws as it has right now, it is still absolutely the best country in the world. There's no question about that. It keeps going downhill. You know, I understand that. It's not like it was in 1960 or, you know, or 1776, but nevertheless, it's still the best country in the world. And I think that it is imperative that at some point that Americans pick themselves up by their bootstraps here and say, okay, we need to sit down and have a talk. And here's the results that we're looking for, and this is what's going to happen, or something else is going to happen. And I'll tell you something else. I think that you see a lot of bravado and a lot of BS on Facebook about this, but I think it's imperative at this point in time that people be very, very cautious about what they say and who they say it to. Facebook is not the place to do it. Because I think they will be, as we get closer and things get what they consider to be more volatile, they'll be looking for people that are running their mouth too much on Facebook. And they're going to start whittling away and taking some of those people out of there. And I think that will start happening really soon. So anyway, all that being said, I think it's time to scoot on out of here. Like I said, you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Spend some time with family. And we'll be back here, Friday, Liberty Lounge. I don't see any reason in the world at this moment why Liberty Lounge won't be a happening thing. So I'll see you then. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.